You are Locked On Angels, your daily podcast on the Los Angeles Angels, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, your 2018 Angels. Welcome to Locked On Angels.
Keep it locked.
Locked on.
We're locked on, sir.
Locked on Angels.
What up, Angel fans? My name is Lucas Sardo, your host of Locked On Angels today, the resident Socia Cynic. Welcome to your daily Angels update here on Locked On Angels, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Guys, I hope you enjoyed that Mike Trout showing at that All-Star game. I definitely did. He made me a little bit nervous. I had the first half under in that game, so under, I believe it was 3.5 runs in the first 5 innings. So him hitting that bomb, I was a little bit, Mikey, pump the brakes a little bit. You know, I got some money to win. But we won the money. Won the money. Didn't get the over under for the game, though, at 7.5. It was like a home run derby. Like the second home run derby part 2, I guess you can call it. But again, I think, no doubt about it, we saw the amazing abilities of Mike Trout on display once again. On, I'm not going to call it baseball's biggest stage, but definitely, you know, one of the showcases of Major League Baseball. But, hey, that's over and done with. We're moving on to Phase 2. Phase 2 for our push to the playoffs. If you remember, Phase 1, hey, we succeeded. We need to be over 500 moving into that All-Star break, over that little 9-game stretch that I talked about, and we did that. And look, I said if we did that, we were going to be single digits out of a wild card spot. And man, am I looking good on that take, because we are only 9 games out. So now, I present to you Phase 2 of our push to the playoffs. Okay? Again, it's a long battle. The rest of this season. We got a lot of games left. So Phase 2, we're not going to rely necessarily on our record. However, we are going to rely on how many series we can win over the next month of the season. Okay? That time frame, meaning July 20th to August 20th. Okay? In that time span, we will have 9 series. Ready for this? Houston, at home. Chicago White Sox, at home. Seattle, at home. Tampa Bay, on the road. Cleveland, on the road. Detroit, at home. Oakland, at home. San Diego, on the road. But I trust you Angel fans are going to be down there in San Diego. I know I'm going to try to go down there for those games. And then finally, Texas, on the road. Okay? That was a lot to digest, so I'm going to break it down a little bit more for you, okay? We will have divisional series against Houston, Seattle, and Oakland, all at home, and we will be playing last place Texas on the road. Not too bad, right? We're going to pack Angel Stadium. We're going to win some games there against Houston, Seattle, Oakland, all teams that we are currently trailing. But we're going to get into why we will not be trailing them pretty soon. Texas on the road. We've had our scares in Texas. But hey, got to get rid of those demons if we're going to get to that playoffs. The first time in Los Angeles Angels history being that. Now, your non-divisional series, okay? We are going to be playing 3 teams under 500 over this stretch. The White Sox, the Tigers, and the Padres. And I think all of those teams are teams you would look at and say, wow, we should definitely at least take 2 of 3, if not sweep them. Because all of those teams are bad. With a capital B, a capital A, and a capital D. Okay? We can take those teams. Now the teams above 500. And I have a little stipulation here. Because the Rays are a team that we will be playing who are technically above 500 currently. They are 2 games over 500. However, They could easily be below 500 at that time, right? We could win a series against them, especially considering they are in that wild card race with us. Now, the team that I would say, you know, non-divisional team at least, the best team we're going to be playing, is Cleveland along this stretch. In Cleveland, however, I would argue that they're a little bit down this season. They're not the same Cleveland team we've seen the last 2 years. And they also haven't been playing their best baseball, I'd even say. So, who knows? Could even steal a couple games in Cleveland, right? So, my goal for this, win every series, right? I mean, that's probably not going to happen. But that is the goal, right? How great would that be, is to win every series, and 9 of 9. But I think realistically, this is what we should look for. Win 3 of 4 of the divisional series, win 3 of 5 of the non-divisional series. And I think we probably could win 4 of the 5 non-divisional series. But, you know, realistically, I could see us having some weird injury along the way and we lose, you know, 2 of 3 to Detroit again. That happened earlier this season. So that's why I'm saying I think 3 of 5 is not out of the question. And I don't think that really kills our chances here in this playoff race. Okay? I'm going to break it down even more. If you win 3 of 4 divisional series, okay, along this road, at worst, your record over that span is 8 of 5. Eight and five. And this is the worst case scenario, okay? Because that, and this worst case scenario would have you losing 3 of 4 to Texas, which wouldn't necessarily be that bad of a thing, because that would also mean you won series over both Seattle, Oakland, and Houston along that stretch, which would be huge. I think we could all agree with that. Okay? Now, if you win 3 of 5 non-divisional series, at worst, again, at worst, you go 9 and 7. That's a combined record going 17 and 12, and your overall record would be at 66 and 60 with a month and a half left in the season. Not too bad, if you ask me. And here's why. Considering Oakland is going to have the hardest stretch over this month, they are playing all but 2 teams with records over 500. That's not good for them. Seattle only plays 3 teams under 500 as well. But over that stretch, they play 7 games against Houston, 3 against Oakland, 3 against us, and 3 against the Los Angeles Dodgers. All games that you got to think are tough games for them, right? All of those games, you got, you know, the Dodgers are a great team. Houston, in a divisional battle with them, they're going to want to win all those games. Oakland, same deal. Us, same deal. Phase 1 was designed to keep us afloat until the All-Star break, but Phase 2 is designed to make our move, guys. Because after this next month of the season, we have a month and a half left, and Phase 3 is going to be designed to get the job done. We're going to get to those playoffs. I can feel it, guys. I can feel it. I can feel it if we get through Phase 2. Because I think Phase 2 is going to be the hardest. But again, all of these numbers are worst case scenarios. So they could do better, right? If you're at 66 wins with a month and a half left in the season, I think you have a good shot to get in there. Because I think similar to last year, your magic win number to get that last wild card spot is probably going to be somewhere around 85 wins, right? And, you know, let's not put out of the question that we could sweep a couple of these teams, right? We could sweep the White Sox. We could sweep the Rays. They're down this year. Or they're not very good. You know, Detroit, we could sweep Detroit at home, being that too. San Diego, same deal. So, if we're at 66 to 70 wins around that August 20th mark, 15 wins over the last month and a half of the season? Doesn't seem out of the question, does it? That's what I'm saying. I think this next month is going to decide whether or not we are for real or not. Because who says we can't go out here over this next month and get really hot, right? Win 7 or 10 games in a row, maybe. Have some people talking about us like, oh, they're the hottest team in baseball. I haven't heard that in a while. I haven't heard that since the first, 16 to 20 games of the season. And there are stretches where, like I said, we're going to have 4 against the White Sox. Let's take care of Seattle. And then we go to Tampa. That's a stretch that realistically is winnable for this Angels team. But hey, we'll see what this team decides to do. We'll see what this mad king of the Angels, Mike Socha, decides to do with this lineup. Because, we never know how that's really going to go at any point in this season. But hey, this phase 2 push, we got to look at every series as a playoff series. Okay? Take care of business every single day. Steal every single win you can. And guys, I'm here to tell you that hope is not lost in this season. I want to be your beacon of light. Okay? This is our process. So we should trust it. How about that? Just so inspirational today. Just feeling so good. Got back from Vegas. I came out even on the trip. So you can never be wrong with feel bad about that. So I'm just feeling good. Just feeling really good. But guys, coming up next, I've got a real good gear grinder for you guys. I think it should kind of rival last week's. I think you guys will really enjoy it. But first, if you guys want to sponsor the show, you guys know where to hit us up, right? LockedOnAngels@gmail.com. We would love to talk to you guys. Love to hear from you. Again, we got a good gear grinder coming up for you. Revolves around a guy named Michael Nelson Trout. We'll hear about that coming up next.
You're making me very upset.
You know what really grinds my gears?
All right. We are back. Gear grinding. Okay. I gotta take a deep breath before I get into this, because I might get a little heated about this, because this really did upset me when I heard about this. The All-Star game was this week, and I'm sure you guys watched it. If you didn't, it was a lot of fun. I think it's turning into a game that it's fun. It's kind of like a little sideshow. I'm not going to call it a circus. I don't think that's what we should call it. But, it's fun. It's fun to see a lot of these superstars go out there, have a good time. You get to see guys like Nick Markakis, who's had a great, career. A lot of people might not know about him, but he gets to go out there and showcase his talents as well. You get to see a lot of pitchers you might not necessarily get to see on an everyday basis go out there and absolutely deal and throw heat and gas and be nasty on the mound. I think it's fun, right? However, one of the headlines that came out of this All-Star weekend was about Mike Trout. And I'm going to preface this by saying I've never been a huge fan of booing a commissioner, as most of you guys probably do. The only exceptions I have to this rule are with Roger Goodell and whenever Patrick is a commissioner of any of my fantasy leagues, I will boo them. But from now on, I will be booing Rob Manfred as well. And this is why. If you haven't heard, here is the quote that Rob Manfred said about Mike Trout in regards to an article that I'm going to go into in a little bit, dealing with how Mike Trout might not necessarily be the guy that's in the media all the time, and they're going to use the word marketable. You're going to hear the word marketable a lot. So here's the quote. He said, "Mike's a great, great player and a really nice person. But he's made certain decisions about what he wants to do and what he doesn't want to do, and how he wants to spend his free time and how he doesn't want to spend his free time. That's up to him. If he wants to engage and be more active in that area, I think we can help him make his brand really, really big. But he has to make a decision that he's prepared to engage in that area. It takes time and effort. That quote, end quote, by the way, I've always wanted to say that, end quote. That quote makes me pretty upset because I think that's Rob Manfred's PC way of saying, we love Mike Trout, but he's not willing to put in the time and effort to be a marketable player. And I think that him being upset about Mike Trout not wanting to be a marketable player is really, really stupid. Now, this quote spurred by an article by the very great Washington Post. And it said that Mike Trout was just as recognizable of an athlete as Kenneth Faried. Kenneth Faried. That's not a baseball player, by the way. Do you know who Kenneth Faried is? I personally do, but I am probably considered an average basketball fan. And Kenneth Faried was at one point the face of a franchise in Denver. But there is no possible way that Mike Trout and Kenneth Faried are even remotely in the same sentence when you're talking about sports stars that are recognizable at the very least. And this article that the Post had went into these Q scores and how people recognized them and knew about them. And I don't know how these Q scores were developed. I didn't read into it very much. But if the scores compared Mike Trout to Kenneth Faried, we have bigger problems, guys. Your algorithm is wrong. Period. I don't care. There is no possible way that that is even true. So I'm going to throw it out. And I even found another article that was discussing the article written by the Post. And they went to a gas station in Kansas City to figure out like how true these findings may actually have been. And guess what, guys? They found out that it was false. Only like they pulled 25 people, asked them four names. So it was like LeBron James, Mike Trout, Kenneth Faried, and some guy I've never even heard of. And it was like 13 of the 25 people knew who Mike Trout was, and two of the 25 knew who Kenneth Faried was. So, automatically, absolutely ridiculous. But the commissioner is making comments based on these findings. And so, he is obviously coming up with a stance of like, yeah, Mike's not that recognizable, and we would love for him to be more recognizable, but he doesn't want to. That's not the reaction he should have had, in my opinion. And if you've been on Twitter in the last 24 to 48 hours, you've probably seen a lot of people, especially around the Angels organization, because I think they handled it phenomenally. I am so glad that they backed Mike, as they should, right? I mean, he's our franchise, so we should back him. But for them to put out a press release supporting him and backing him, and I saw a lot of beat writers and, you know, people in the Angels community. And if you were one of those people that tweeted something about Mike Trout, good on you, because he deserves that support. He is so phenomenal, not only for this Anaheim area or the greater Orange County area, Southern California, but in baseball in general, guys. I mean, we're in an era where our superstars are absolutely spoiled. I mean, look at baseball, right? You get guys like Manny Machado, Bryce Harper. These young guys coming up and they're flashy. You know, did you see Manny walk up, his suit, and he got no shirt on underneath, just the jacket and the big chain? You know, Harper, as much as I loved his outfit during the Home Run Derby, pretty flashy, right? But in this era of baseball, we are given a human being that is more focused about his personal life, meaning his family and friends, as well as the game of baseball and being the best possible player we have ever seen. But no, Rob Manfred is going to call him out because Mike Trout doesn't want to be as marketable as some of these other guys. Are you kidding me? Are you kidding me? I mean, think about it. What are the reasons why a Major League Baseball player would actually want to be marketed in the first place? Okay? I came up with three reasons. First, potential interest from other teams or their own team that may want them in the future when they're a free agent or maybe, you know, in a potential trade, right? Your second reason why you would want to be marketed? Endorsement deals. Duh, right? You get out in the publicity and get more money, essentially. Third, to let the public get a better idea of the person that you actually are. And the reason you could do this would be, I don't know, righting a wrong, or maybe just trying to show off your personality more to, again, maybe have teams be more interested in you, right? Those are the three things I could think of off the top of my head as to why a Major League Baseball player would want to be, quote-unquote, more marketable, right? Does Mike Trout need to do any of these things? I mean, think about it. Number one, if he wants to gain interest from other teams, he doesn't need to do that. He's Mike freaking Trout. If he hit the open market, which we're all praying daily, and if you're not praying daily that he stays with this Angels club, you better start praying daily. But if he hits the open market, he will be the highest baseball player, highest paid baseball player ever. Ever. We could potentially see a $500 million contract that Mike Trout could sign. That is an absurd number, but he deserves every single penny of it. Because he, like I said earlier, is the greatest baseball player that's ever touched a baseball bat. So, does he need other teams to be interested in him? No. No. Are you kidding me? If he hit the open market, they would have a similar process to probably what Shohei went through, where he basically sat down with every single team in the league and said, all right, write me up a plan as to how I'm going to fit into your community and on your team. Like, he doesn't need to make teams interested in him. Are you kidding me? So second, right? Maybe to get more endorsement deals. I am hard-pressed to think of a time, I never have remembered a time, when he wasn't marketing something, right? I can think of Nike ads that I've seen him in, that body armor, that drink that he does, Subway, funny commercials. The Subway commercials were funny that he was in. Those are just the ones I could think of off the top of my head, though. I mean, he endorses a lot of good things, and for what he does endorse, I'm sure that takes up a good chunk of his time in the offseason, I'd imagine. Having to shoot commercials and the production behind it and thinking of all the things, shooting them. I mean, there's a lot that goes into these things, right? So, does he necessarily need more endorsements? I don't think so. I mean, the dude's making a lot of money and he has a comfortable living and, quite frankly, I don't think he's one of those guys that wants to go out there and just chase as many millions of dollars as he wants because, like I said, he's living comfortably and he's happy with the life he lives. So he's not going to be out here like, you know, a guy like LeBron James who's just doing all of these things over and over and over again, who's living this insane superstar lifestyle, right? And third, to let the public get a better idea of the person you are, it's Mike Trout. He could potentially have the greatest reputation around the league. Player to player. I mean, front office to player. I think GMs love him. Fans go to games all around the league just to watch him play. He's got that signature smile. As we saw in the All-Star game, if you watched it, he was mic'd up, talking with Joe Buck about the weather, having a good time out there. You know, seems like a good guy. I don't know if you saw the interview with Alex Rodriguez, too. Seems interesting. And honestly, I don't think he really wants the public to necessarily get a better idea of the person he is. And if you really wanted to know, I'm sure half of these interviews, that you see on national TV, it's not like they ask him, like, hey, like, what else do you do in your free time, Mike? Everybody's always just like, hey, we know you like the Eagles, and hey, we know you like the weather. If you want to get to know him more, just ask him different questions. Like, stop reusing the same things over and over and over again. And if he wants to be a guy that in the offseason wants to hang out with his wife, family, and friends without any spotlight surrounding him, who are we to judge that? Who is Rob Manfred to judge that by any means, right? How are you going to tell a guy, no, you should spend less time with your family and you should go work a little bit more? Like, oh my gosh. The long haul of a 162-game Major League Baseball regular season takes a toll on you, I think. Just physically and mentally, you know? But you know what the MLB likes. You know, Bryce Harper, right? Because he's flashy and he's in the commercials, the Verizon commercials. But you know why he's always at the forefront of the MLB? Because he's hitting 212. And he's a free agent this offseason. So he needs to generate a little bit of buzz for himself. Why do you think he did the home run derby? Come on, guys. We're not that naive, right? So teams could be out here like, oh, man, he's hitting balls 480. Wow, that's sick. We won the home run derby. We want that guy. Yeah, don't let all those home runs make you overlook the fact that he's hitting 212 this season. He started out twice in the All-Star game. He's not an All-Star. He should not have been a starter. Any other ballpark that they're in, he's not a starter. Guaranteed it. Guaranteed. So, in a changing game where it's all about this flash and glamour, we have a player who provides all of the on-field heroics that we want to see without any of the off-field drama. And the league is upset by that. Is that ridiculous? I mean, we had a sideshow at the sideshow this week at the All-Star game because everybody was so enthralled on what Manny Machado was going to do. Every time he even looked at a player, it was like, oh my gosh, he made eye contact with Nelson Cruz. Is Manny going to go to Seattle? It's like speculation, 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 right? Mike Trout's never a part of any of that. Why do you think? Because, oh, I don't know, maybe he doesn't want to be a part of that. Did Kent Rosenthal even know there was a game happening? Because I swear, every time he was on TV, it was like, yeah, well, I just refreshed my Twitter feed, and they say Manny Machado might be going to LA. It's like, who cares? We're just trying to watch baseball, guys. But this marketable thing, right? Is that what we want out of our generation's greatest baseball player? You know, when he gets his plaque in the Hall of Fame, I think because of the way this game has changed over this last generation, we're going to hear a lot of things about him when he goes into the Hall that in this era, he was one of the most humble guys as well as the best player. He wasn't one of those flashy guys, but he got the job done. And he was the guy in the locker room that everyone wanted to be around. And you're not going to be able to say that about a lot of other people that go into the Hall at the same time as him. You're not going to be able to say all three of those things. So, in closing, Rob Manfred, turn your radio up right now because you need to listen to this. If Mike Trout wants to be a boring, everyday human being, let him be. Because he deserves it. Because he lets everyday guys like me and like you watch him play baseball and marvel at his talents for 163 actually, days a year, because he's always in the All-Star game. He's the person that is going to bridge generational gaps between myself, my kids, and my grandkids. When I tell them about all of the unbelievable stories I have to say about Mike Trout. He's the person I'll be able to sit on the beach when I'm retired with Patrick by my side, and we'll be able to reminisce about seeing him fly through the air making those crazy catches. He's the person that at every baseball game I'm going to go to for the rest of my life, I'm going to say, man, yeah, that guy's pretty great, but he's no Mike Trout. So again, If Mike Trout wants to spend his downtime being like us, let him. Because in my opinion, that makes him that much more of a great player to me. Oh. Freaking Rob Manfred. Ridiculous. Anyway, coming up next, we are going to close out this show. Alright guys, I'll make this quick, because this is kind of a long episode. I got kind of carried away with myself there. I'm sorry. But, Trivia Thursday. So, our trivia question for the day will also revolve around Mike Trout. 6 of the last 7 years, Mike Trout has led the Angels in WAR. Can you name the one player that beat him in that statistical category that 7th year? Tweet me your answers, yell them in your car, quiz your significant other. I don't care. I'd love to hear from you guys. Pat's going to be back tomorrow to get us ready for this huge Astros series. I'm going to try to make it to a couple games, I think. And he's going to talk about any other things. Maybe he'll get fired up about this Mike Trout thing. But, guys, we're also thinking about designing some t-shirts also. So reach out to us. Let us know if we should go through with that, because I want to kind of gauge how many of you guys would love to rock some of that Locked On Angels merch over there at Angel Stadium, or just around Orange County and Southern California in general. But anyway, guys, I'm Lucas Sardo. Sorry about the long episode today. You can find me at LucasSardo13 on Twitter. Let me know how I'm doing. Let me know what you think about Mike Trout or Phase 2 of this playoff push. But more importantly, be sure to follow us on Twitter at LockedOnAngels for all updates regarding the show. And you can go to our website as well, LockedOnAngels.com. If you have any questions, comments, concerns, anything, shoot us an email, LockedOnAngels@gmail.com. Guys, go Halos. Adios.